Hi everyone, good evening and welcome to Eye of Africa. I am Chomzi Chom and I'm your host for the show. So it's season 2. Yes, I repeat, it's season 2 of the hottest podcast on the airwave. It's been a while since we started recording for season 2 and we are finally here with the first episode of the season. So this episode is timed to rhyme with International Women's Day, but we couldn't keep up with the timing because we have some issues. But here we are today with the brand new season. Season 2 is going to be amazing, guys. So keep on listening, keep on liking, keep on giving me the 5-star, keep on downloading, and most importantly, share with your friends. Spread the word, yo. Spread the word and tell them Eye of Africa is what you need to listen to right now. So, on the podcast today, we'll be talking about the African woman. Yes, you heard me right, the African woman. Women are exotic. They are unique. They are the most important human beings. They are the most important creatures. They are the most important species. They are the most important anything you can think of. I said it. They are. A general understanding of who an African woman is the fact that she is born in Africa by African parents. However, African women are far more than just being born in Africa. They are the most unique set of people in the world. Honestly, I think to be African, to be an African woman comes with a lot of traditional belief that places women in, you know, women's roles in society to be just childbearers and cooks, to be just submissive wives at home and just do as you're told, you know. But this recently we've seen a different breed of women coming up who are more determined to stake their claim, women who are trying to come out of the concept of women are just childbearers. In many societies, women have over time evolved and broken barriers. You know, the education of the girl child is improving, women are taking jobs in professions that were usually seen as men only territory. You know, women cannot do this certain kind of job, these jobs are made for men. Oh, you're not supposed to be working, you're supposed to be at home taking care of the children while your husband goes out to work. You know, it goes without saying that the strength of an African woman is unparalleled. So in this episode, we'll be looking at the African woman, how the society has evolved in giving women the ability to hear their views and showcase their abilities. We'll be looking at the problems that African women face and what could be done to fix them. We'll be looking at their contributions in the society, economically, and many more. So, in order for us to understand what we're talking about, we'll look at this in stages. Okay, let's look at African women in terms of how the society sees them. And to be honest, right up to this moment, women are still regarded as baby-making machines only. You know, they are not good enough for anything else. As a result, when a woman does something out of the ordinary, you know, out of the recognized norms of the society, it becomes a problem for the patriarchy, you know, the men who are of the school of thought that women are not supposed to be involved in education, in white collar jobs, in blue collar jobs, in whatever kind of jobs. Their specific work is to just stay at home and cook and give birth to children and train those children at home. A lot of societies today across Africa still maintain that school of thought, you know. But fortunately, we have trailblazers who have, over the years, overcome some of these, you know, beliefs, some of this school of thought, some of these ideas that have restricted women from achieving their dreams. We're talking about women who have gone from different fields of life, for example, Queen Amina of Zaria Empire back in the days, she broke the chain and she did it exceptionally well. We're talking about Nanela Dikwali, we're talking about Winnie Mandela, we're talking about Professor Dora Akinyele, the late Professor Dora Akinyele, we're talking about Ngozi Chimamanda Adichie, we're talking about Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, who by the way is currently the first black woman, an African, not just black woman, first woman, first black woman, first African to be the head of the World Trade Organization. That is some amazing achievement, and that did just come from her staying at home to cook. That came from hard work, that came from dedication for years and years and years of hard work, and it finally pays off. Who said women cannot do it? I'll laugh in your foolishness if you think that. These women have, you know, are leading a new generation of women into achieving feats that may be unheard of at a certain point in history here in Africa. They have championed girls into believing that there is no point that they cannot reach except by their own doing. Women like Angelique Kidjo, Claire Akanmanzi, Wendy Luhabi, Obiageli Ezekwili, you know, Celine de Grey, have all played important roles in paving way for the African women to excel. When you look at the entertainment industry, Charlize Theron, she's doing exceptionally well. And a lot of girl child in Africa, a lot of women, not just girl child, a lot of women now are doing a lot, you know, in entertainment industry. Talking about Yemi Alade, talking about Tiwa Savage, Pussy Zwa, you know, talking about Lupita Nyong'o, and a lot of them coming up into the scene internationally, not just in Africa. Internationally, they're making a difference. They are making a huge difference. These women, I call them the trailblazers. Okay, they have stepped out of the regular norm of, you know, thinking that, oh, women cannot do certain things. And you see, to be honest, in Africa, it is born is bred for so much amount of men that they keep thinking, oh, if I allow my wife to go get a job, she's going to grow wings, she's going to become, you know, too independent, that she wouldn't need me anymore, she will become stubborn, she won't be listening, she will challenge my authority. Oh, if I send my daughter to school, she wouldn't be able to do this, she will be able to do that, and that will limit her. It is just so much BS, you know. And unfortunately, women that are, some of the women that are brought up in this kind of life, they tend to not even want to step out of it, you know. Some people, you keep trying and keep talking, some people you try to send them to school and they run away from school, and it's just because they have been held down by the society in which they come from. Now, to be an African woman, we all know it's not easy. Okay, African women are strong, they are tenacious, they are confident, they are beautiful. African women are vibrant. African women are hustlers. African women are emotional. They are so soft. You need to take care of them. You know, you need to be very cautious when you're dealing with them. But that doesn't mean they don't face problems. That doesn't mean they don't face problems, and that is where I want us to talk about right now, the problems faced by African women. One of the problems that African women, you know, are facing is African women make up about, you know, they make up about half the population, and sometimes even more than half of the population of Africa. In the entire continent, women make up about 50% or more. However, several figures and statistics point to the low level of education of women. You know, they are undereducated. That is one of the problems they are facing. The women are not educated enough in Africa. Imagine if we have educated women, qualified and educated African women in the society, coming to join in and helping people, helping shape this continent. African women, number two, African women suffer greatly from the loss of economic security. Yeah, that's true. That's true. This is manifested in poverty and the lack of sources of livelihood. Africa is blessed with great wealth. However, 59%, as statistics show, of Africa live below the poverty level. And since women make over half the African population, you can imagine that they are the ones worst affected by it. So women need, you know, they need a certain level of economic security where, you know, just as much as men need that security, women need it too. Women need to have jobs, women need to have steady source of income, something that will enable them to be able to take care of their family, take care of their self, you know, and give back to the earth. Number three, African women suffer from pay inequalities, you know, as men, they suffer from pay inequality compared to men who work the same job as they do, but get paid higher than the women. You know, they are also the first victims of early termination, where you see women are, if you want to lay people off, you first of all target the women with one silly excuse or the other. Meanwhile, they might actually be performing even better than some of the men. Yeah, it is a known fact. Some women perform better than some men in certain areas of works and life. But in Africa, and this is not just generally an African problem when it comes to inequality, pay inequality or inequality in all, you know, women tend to be paid less compared to men. For example, if I work at a company, you know, and I and this other woman, we work in the same office doing the same job, sometimes, in most cases, the man tends to earn more. And that is all right. That is a huge problem that women are facing. You know, number four, they are subject to forced marriage for certain cultural reasons. Those cultures are dead. You know, women are subjected to forced marriage for certain cultural reasons. Women are also the first victims of gender-based violence such as rape, forced prostitution, etc., etc., etc. Till today, here in Nigeria, you still hear news of parents marrying their children off. Some of the parents do that to pay off debt. Some of the parents do that maybe to amass the wealth of whoever they're marrying their daughter off to. In any case, it doesn't matter. The parents just sending your child, you know, forcefully sending her to go get married, you know, marrying her off without her making the decision to get married, without her being of the right age to get married, is wrong. Child marriage is wrong. You know, forced prostitution, where you pick girls, you force them into doing this, into sleeping with men for money, and the money that they don't even get to see, it is wrong. And African women are facing a lot of this, not just in Nigeria, in South Africa, in Kenya, in Ghana, across Africa, they are facing these issues, and we need to find a way to put a stop to it. Number five, African women live under severe psychological and economic pressures because they bear the brunt of family affairs with almost complete absence of the men to improve their family standard of living. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying men do not participate in taking care of their families. I'm talking about women having to do almost everything when it comes to the family. The man wakes up in the morning and he's gone. He's gone to work, he's gone somewhere to become busy, and the wife is left with, you know, taking care of the children, monitoring them, grooming them. That is something that women have. Men, we need to put in our own effort in taking care of the family. It's not just about leaving the house in the morning, oh, I'm off. And then in the evening, you come back and you jump on the bed, you sleep, you eat and you sleep, and the next morning, you're up again. Be a part of your children's life. You know, get to know them. Live with them. Help your wife around the house. You know, do some certain things around the house that will make your wife happy, that will make your family stronger. That is what I meant. But in Africa, a lot of those responsibilities are left for the woman. The man just, some useless men, you know, forgive my language, but some irresponsible men just wake up, leave the house. They don't say nothing, they don't do nothing, they don't work, they go sit down and drink and play checkers or whatever game they want to play with their friends. And once it's late night, they come back home. That is wrong. Okay, so we've seen the role of women in Africa vary from country to country. Yeah, it is not the same. The role that a society like Nigeria places on women is not the same as in Ghana. It's not the same as in Kenya. It's not the same as in Egypt. And it's equally not the same in Zambia. Okay, certain societies, certain culture, country from country, you know, have a certain role for women. In Africa, women are beginning to see a breakthrough, you know, little by little, even in tech, in different forms of life, they are beginning to see a breakthrough. Politics, you know. Meanwhile, congratulations to Tanzania. They just had their first female president. That is what I'm talking about. Hard work, dedication, and when is the right time, you get to reap your reward. Now, like as I was saying, the role of women in Africa vary from country to country, but it still borders down to one common result: discrimination. It is a common thing across the continent when it comes to dealing with women. They are constantly discriminated upon. They are constantly marginalized. It is happening from day one that I came to this earth. It has been happening before I came into this earth. It is happening currently, and it might keep happening if we, right now, at this moment, do not do something to change that. Here's the catch. African women are getting a lot of economic empowerment. They are making strides. They are making, you know, they are setting trends in different walks of life that is now beginning to allow us to see how important they are to our economy. That allows us to see how very, very, very vital they are. The growth of economy, especially here in Nigeria, you know, women are very essential to the growth of our economy. So let's look at the African women economic empowerment. The trailblazers in seeing the role of women in Africa change, and women who represented, you know, different sectors have yielded results. For example, Rwanda has been able to adopt the policy that allow women into their legislative arm of government, which, by the way, with over 50% of the parliament occupied, are occupied by women. Yeah, as of 2019, over 50% of the Rwandan parliament, you know, the seats there are occupied by women. and they are doing marvelously well. The late Professor Dora Akunyili rose to power and led one of Nigeria's biggest agencies, talking about NAFDAC. I spoke about Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, who is now the first woman in Africa to lead the World Trade Organization, and so much more. Talking about Ezekwesili, who is currently in politics, she's doing amazingly well. So a lot of people who have stepped, they stood up and they stomped their foot to the ground and they said, it's my time. And they are charging other young girls growing up to put their feet up and become strong African women who are not scared to show what they have, what they can do, and what they can bring to the development of Africa and the world at large. Despite continuing discrimination, the economic weight of women in Africa is increasing, and certain initiatives are being expanded to allow for the sustainable integration of women in the economic sphere. There is a significant participation in the African informal economy, including agriculture, food processing, domestic work, and childcare. Women are severely underrepresented in corporate ownership, management, and participation of the formal workforce. Other problems, when we look at their economic empowerment, we still think, they are doing well. Women are improving. They are participating more in the economic activities going around the country. They are coming out. They are, getting educated, and they are putting themselves out there to challenge the status quo. But it doesn't mean that they are not facing problems which leads to poor economic empowerment and development. Some of these problems that we're talking about include 1. Employment policies and discriminatory employment practices. Employment policies and discriminatory employment practices. Talking about limited markets. Talking about social change of unequal sharing of family levels between man and woman. Talking about the weaknesses of the skills possessed by African women. Talking about the challenges of education, poor health security, and the list goes on. So we talk about limited market as one of the problems they are facing when it comes to economic empowerment. We're talking about poor demand of their product. This is largely caused by family responsibilities or cultural practices, where because of the kind of trade that women are mostly involved in, you don't usually get people who come chasing after their product. Back in the day, all they do is make baskets, and then that's basically little things that are used for domestic activities at home. And so there is low demand, poor demand of their goods in the market. Talk about employment policies and discriminatory employment practices. We're talking about employers setting high standard before employing women, like checking where she comes from, how she looks. If she's married, they don't give her the job. If she's overqualified, she doesn't get the job. And when she does, she's not paid properly. Even if she's overqualified, they pay someone who is less qualified than her, higher than he is, just simply because he is a man. There are a lot of discriminatory practices going on when it comes to employment. Talk about social challenge of unequal sharing of family levels between man and woman. I said something earlier about the man thinking if she goes to school, if she's educated, if she's working, she's going to challenge his authority, she's going to be stubborn, she's going to feel she's better than he is, and so there need to be boundaries need to be set. And then he goes on and on and on about this is what she does, responsibilities that she's, you know, she's supposed to handle, and responsibility that he's supposed to handle, and she gets the chunk of the work, and it is basically household work with no help. And because of that, she is limited, you know, her ability to go out there and put her own effort in making her a better woman, making her family a better family, making the society and the continent at large a better one. The two cultural practices such as this, where the roles are not equal and women are always subjected to such behavior from men, is a factor. You know, the weakness of the skills possessed by African women. This particular point involves the level of education and training opportunities that she gets. Okay, the opportunity that a woman is given to learn something, to, you know, get trained in a specific field. You don't give them much time. You know, they don't even really allow women to go and learn all these things. Now it is changing, times are changing, women are doing a lot of things, learning different trades on their own, and it is helping them as much as it is helping the economy. But that challenge, it doesn't stop the fact that the challenge is there and people are still suffering. Women are still suffering because they are not getting the opportunities that they deserve. They are not. The challenge of education. The challenge of education, simply put, poor education. Women are not educated enough, and because they're not educated enough, they cannot get opportunities. Because they cannot get opportunities, they will not be able to do anything. Talking about poor health security. Women are at risk of various forms of illness, especially when pregnant, you know. When, even when they are not pregnant, there are different illnesses that can affect someone in Africa. Talking about malaria, talking about typhoid, you mentioned them. And because our health sector in Africa is very poor, you know, women, and not just women, men involved, all of us are at risk. And because we are at risk, we might not be able to do our own part in providing and making sure that Africa is growing and is becoming a better place. So, how do we improve these challenges that women are facing in Africa? From the social to the cultural challenges to professional challenges and what we need to do. How do we, you know, find ways to improve the socioeconomic status of these women? So we can do that by 1. Reviewing legal and environmental frameworks and programs that allow access to loans and support for women in small and micro enterprises. The informal sector through special programs. You know, for women in small micro enterprises, I said, and the informal sector through special programs. We need to find a way to review some of these frameworks that restrict women from actually playing their part. Organizing workshops, lectures, and if you like, you can call it seminars, to raise awareness about the importance of women's role and participation in national activities. We need to, you know, improve this aspect of workshop. It's a very good idea, and when you organize workshops and seminars where women are, you know, encouraged, women are talked to, women are advised to get themselves involved in national activities, especially politics. 3, you know, women need to be encouraged, need to encourage women's selves self-employment project through funds aimed at developing an interdependence. Okay, we need to encourage them. You know, those self-employed women, we need to encourage them, their project, you know, through funding them. We find means to fund them. It can be, you know, through a forum that the community have organized, and they'll be paying contributions, and then at a certain point it is now given to people, you know, who are in need of that money the most to start their business, and in this case women, you know. Number four, increasing the participation of women in decision making and economic policy making positions. Yeah, I said that earlier, you know, when women get involved in politics, they get involved in organizations where they can lead from the front, then they can put in their own, you know, their own quota. They can put in their own hard work, their dedication, to strive and see how better Africa can get, to strive and see how better Nigeria can get. The women in this country are the ones holding Nigeria together. They are doing an immense job, from stroking the men ego, you know, to taking care of themselves and their family, and still going out there to work from morning to night to provide for the family. You know, so we need to increase the participation of women in, you know, places where decision making, where decisions are made. For example, the House of Senate, the House of Representatives, you know, or in organizations like the World Trade Organizations, you know, stuff like that. We need to increase women participation into areas like this, so that we can see how far they can go, how far they can challenge themselves to go, to make sure that this country and this continent, and to prove to themselves that yes, they can actually do it, you know, how far we can go. I also feel that we need to support the development and collection of strategic gender data from various African countries, so we could be able to know, you know, their level, the amount of women we have, what they are getting themselves into, who is in this field, how many people are in this person are in this field, and we'll see where we need to improve, you know, where we need to improve and see how we can raise the women in Africa in that specific area. You know, another one is promoting the participation of African women in business federations and trade unions. Creating employment opportunities for men and women, ensuring equity in employment and distribution opportunities for workers. Exactly. These are some of the things that I feel we can do to improve the socioeconomic status of African women. You know, if we can be able to do few of these things, then I truly believe that we are going in the right direction, which we are already. When you look back the journey of how women have grown and grown and grown and grown to where we are today, it is indeed a powerful thing. So I want to send this message out there to every woman listening to this podcast today. I want you to know that you are strong. I want you to know that you are loved. You are respected. You are adored. I want you to know that you are unique in every ramification. I want you to know that there is nothing that is beyond you to achieve if you want to achieve it. With hard work and dedication, you will achieve it. You will achieve it, and you will help make Africa a better continent. I believe in the African woman and in the power that we need to make sure that women are treated fairly. Some people don't understand what we say, treat women fairly. They think we're saying give them everything you have. No, but respect them. Show them that you care. Show them that you appreciate them. Show them that you love them. Don't make their efforts look like they are doing nothing, like it's nothing to you. Strong. So Yeah, I think if we can do that, if we can look at women as our equals and not lesser than us, then we can truly, truly achieve the great Africa, because women hold the key. I remain your humble host, Chomzy Chom. Please do not forget to like, to subscribe, to download, to share, to comment. You can comment, you can send me your messages, you know, let me know what you're doing. You can chat me up on Facebook at Chomzy Chom. You can WhatsApp me, you can, you know, talk to me. Follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter at Caleb Chom, and I'll be there to respond to all your concerns and all your contributions. And please don't forget to share. This season is going to be a banger. Okay, a lot of things are going to come up, and my YouTube channel is up and running. After maybe a couple of days, we are having this podcast out there. I'm putting a video on my YouTube channel about the African woman. I'm working on it and I'm hoping it's going to be a blast. Okay? I'm hoping it's going to be a blast. So stay tuned and I'll catch you all later. Thank you.